This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, week one of college football now in the books after Notre Dame beat Louisville last night 35-17. A more competitive game than we thought, at least I thought. It was 14-14 at the end of the first quarter. It was only 21-14 at halftime. Notre Dame then pulls away. They don't cover, but they pull away. Look, Louisville is a program that is trying to find its footing again. And Notre Dame is a top 10 football team that made the playoff last year. I get it. If you're going to put a team, if you're going to look at your slate of bad games for college football in week one, and there was a lot of FBS versus FCS games, you put a national fan base like Notre Dame on TV on a Monday, on a Labor Day Monday. I get it. Probably going to draw some pretty good numbers because, A, it's college football, and B, Notre Dame's got a fan base like you wouldn't believe for a college sports team. But college football, you got to do better than this. All right. Now, look, I know schools are making their own schedules, and there really is no commissioner of college football or college football czar, as some pundits like to say. But we need better games in week one. We need better games in Labor Day weekend. Just the overall enthusiasm of the sport coming back is not going to do it. You're gonna have to give us really compelling matchups. This game was surprisingly more competitive than many thought, right? It ended up being an 18-point victory for Notre Dame. They were projected to win by 25. To be honest with you, they were projected to win in a real blowout, and it didn't occur. That's not the game you should have on a Monday night for Labor Day to kind of close out and put a bookend to your opening weekend. We need better games. The game of the weekend, Auburn versus Oregon, should not have been the only big matchups that we had. With apologies to Georgia Tech Clemson, apologies to Duke Alabama, I need a little bit more meat in the college football schedule. And I'm going to tell you why coming up next. Because this sport is healthy, but it is not really healthy. And we'll talk more about that coming up next. Plus, who can survive some of the missteps in week one in college football? Also, the Chargers on the clock today as we break down teams in the AFC West this week. A team that went under the radar, but we'll see what 2019 has in store. Yeah, we like the bomb, 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 bomb.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so congratulations to the Irish. They beat Louisville. No, you know, game was more competitive than I think people thought. Look, is college football healthy? Yes, of course. I mean, we're still a football nation. All of the little things that have plagued the sport. Look, in the end, we're still a football country. So this is not a football is dying and it needs to change. This is not that. In baseball, we might have a different conversation, but in football, that's not what I'm talking about. But there is an attendance issue. And many people, including Nick Saban, have pointed this out. There is some schedule. There's some bad games on the schedule that aren't filling up stadiums. South Carolina, North Carolina on Saturday was abysmal for attendance. I thought anyway, for two schools, especially South Carolina, that does have a pretty big fan base. It's not so much of a attendance problem. It's not so much of a length problem. But I will say, if you're going to capitalize on a weekend, I thought this was a C minus for college football this weekend in terms of the matchups. I just didn't think they gave us very compelling games to kick off the season. Now, for some of us, it doesn't matter. Just the thrill of seeing college football is good enough. We're happy that it's back. We've kind of put up with the whole summer, and now we get football and does in some capacity we're happy. But that is not a reward. That is not something that the sport needs when you're trying to talk about attendance and another generation that's coming up, right? Look, there is a group of people being raised in a now culture, right? And you can only give them sort of this generational appeal for so long, right? You hear this all the time. I'm a Auburn fan because my dad was an Auburn fan. My grandfather was an Auburn fan. There's some legitimacy to that. But there's a generation that is coming up that needs stuff now and quick. You've got four-hour football games, and you better start giving matchups that are at least somewhat compelling. Look at what the committee is trying to do over the last 5 years. They are begging schools to start scheduling some really tough opponents. Now, we're going to get some this weekend with LSU taking on Texas, and I think that's a fantastic matchup. And there are some others that are going to be occurring throughout the season, and I'm not faulting anybody for that. But the sport that doesn't have a person in charge of it, doesn't have one individual that sets this up, it's hard for this sport to then go, hey, week one, we've got this, 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 and this. Right? If Notre Dame and Louisville is the best game you can put together for a Monday night Labor Day primetime game, the only game on TV, then the sport's opening weekend is kind of a dud. I'm sorry, it really is. I mean, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta was supposed to be a kickoff classic, and instead, it's Alabama against Duke? That's not going to start the weekend, guys. It's not. Clemson shouldn't have been playing Georgia Tech? What are you talking about? There's got to be a way this sport can understand its marketability and also understand that each school is making its own schedule. And again, look, I give coaches all the credit in the world in a week one tough matchup. There's no preseason. Most of the games are sloppy. Most of the teams are, you know, getting their footing and whatnot. Not everybody comes out of the gate on fire like Jalen Hurts or anybody like that. You struggle. You learn things as you go. Because there's no preseason games, there's no way to work out some of the intricacies of your offense or your defense. And I can understand being a little bit intimidated to open up out of the gate against Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan or Alabama or whoever. I understand all that. But I will tell you that this is not a death of the sport issue. This is not a sports dying and it's got to be revived issue. This is just merely a complaint that I had over the weekend that the sport coming back, unfortunately, is just not going to be good enough for a lot of people. If you're going to give up a weekend of watching some games, I need some games. I tried watching this game last night. I got to be honest with you. After Notre Dame started to find its footing, I lost interest in it. I started doing other things. I started doing more research for this show, started doing some banking. It was on in the background. This was not a must-see, go to my television and settle in to watch it type of game. It just wasn't. And that's not to say we haven't had those kind of games. We have. But I felt the same way watching Alabama crush Duke. If I'm watching players perform, that's one thing. But I'm trying to watch matchups that mean something. Auburn and Oregon was great because, one, it was a top 25 matchup with both schools, and it had a great ending. It had a fantastic ending. It mattered, and it was very compelling until the end. If Auburn had routed or Oregon had routed, we would have still gotten the game, and we still could have said, well, they tried. Right? They tried. But instead, the best game in terms of schedule-wise ended up being the best game of the weekend. College football is going to have its moments of non-conference games. Certainly, there's going to be plenty up as the schedules increase. And the conference games are always compelling. But if you're going to give me a weekend where you're going to celebrate the sport and you own the weekend, there's no NFL to battle. There's no NFL to really chatter about as everybody is still in preseason mode. And everybody's still in a hope mode. You own this weekend. They could have done better than this. And I don't know who to blame. There's really nobody to blame. There isn't a commissioner. There isn't a head guy. The schools are in charge of it. The schools are in charge of who they're scheduling. But these weren't the marquee games that were set on these neutral fields. Only one was more compelling than anything. In prime time as well. Last night wasn't on a neutral field, but last night was in prime time. And look, Oklahoma and Houston, that might have been at least on paper, it could have been a more interesting game than it was. And it ended up being more of a Jalen Hurts, you know, coming out party than anything else. But again, it still could have done a better job. Look, this weekend is going to be a lot of overreacting now that it's all done, now that week one is done and we head into the week two matchups. Remember this. The great thing about college football, and the one thing I've always appreciated about the sport, and I know a lot of people have wanted, you know, look, everybody wants a 16-team playoff, and, you know, you've had some people go, hey, we should have 32 teams playing like for 2 months. You know, easy on that. But the one thing about the bowl season is it does offer a chance to sort of redeem your season when it goes off the rails and goes off the rails pretty quickly. Sometimes you have a season where you got some injuries occur or whatnot, but you can still at least close out with something kind of fun and decent for the fans that can go on the road, see their team play in a bowl game, part of the holiday tradition. But the other thing about college football that is important to its fabric is that if you're Tennessee, for example, and I'll use them as an example here, if losing to Georgia State, you're never going to get the sting off of that. Never. I mean, that's a bad loss. That's a school that went 2-10 last year. It's a program that's only been around about a decade. You're paying them $950,000 to come to supposedly get beat up so that you can work out your stuff while you go out and play in the, you know, in the SEC and BYU this weekend. That's a loss that stings, but Tennessee can redeem itself with some victories in conference play that are big. They could beat Florida, for example, and it would feel like, okay, we're making some progress. They could give Alabama maybe a little run for their money, and maybe not beat the Crimson Tide, but make it closer than people think. And there's a feeling of accomplishment. This isn't like in the NFL where you are supposed to not make the playoffs when you go 1-5 like the Indianapolis Colts did. Early in September when you lose in the NFL and you go 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, whatever it is, it's very hard to reverse course and make the postseason. In college football, you can have a really, really bad loss like Florida State did to Boise State at home, but you can redeem it by playing well enough in your ACC schedule and making a run at your own division. Or giving, you know, playing Clemson in a really tight game where maybe Clemson wins, but you scare them a bit. Those kind of things that can still occur. And the fan base can sort of then go, all right, we had the good, we had the really, really bad, but we also came out with some pretty good stuff on top that we enjoyed. That's one of the parts of the fabric of college football that I like. So that being said, overreaction after week one, you always have to preface it well. There is something about week one in terms of getting stuff out and getting the rust out, but we'll see in October how some of these teams really look. What if Florida State, who played really well in the first half against Boise State, and then for whatever reason just was shut down, but what if that team does show up for four quarters? That team looked really good. That team looked really good. James Blackman was throwing the ball, running the ball. They looked really decent. All of a sudden, you start compiling some ACC wins, and this loss doesn't hurt as much. Now, Tennessee, you're going to have to win a lot of good games to get the taste of that one out of your mouth. That's a bad loss. That's a really, really bad loss. But let's say you upset Georgia. Some magical night, you know, that you upset Georgia. All right, all of a sudden, it doesn't hurt as bad. Lose to Georgia State, beat Georgia. I mean, if you were to say to an average Tennessee fan, beat Georgia State but get blown out by Georgia, or lose to Georgia State, embarrassed in week one, but upset Georgia in their national championship hopes, they'll take the second part every time. Because that's going to carry a lot more significance in the world of college football, and that's going to mean a stamp of something that gets everybody's attention. And that is what this sport does better than any other. That's what this sport can do better than any other, because the games are so valuable that you can be a big spoiler and make your fan base feel really excited. I mean, look at Vanderbilt. I'll give you a perfect example. My son is a huge Vanderbilt fan, and I have no idea why, but he's a huge Vanderbilt fan. He owns more Vanderbilt gear than anybody I know. And he has a T-shirt that just has the scores of the last 3 years that Vanderbilt has beaten Tennessee. They wear that with pride. I mean, they're a team that their program barely goes to a bowl game. And yet, the last 3 years beating Tennessee is such a big part of what they're proud of. It's not anything else, not a win total amount during the season. It's not going to the Liberty Bowl or wherever it is they go. It is beating Tennessee three straight years. That's something college football has that really no other sport has. That's really only special to within its own fabric. All right, we'll get into some overreactions in week one. We also have got the Chargers on the clock today as AFC West preview week continues. Oh, we've got a busy show today coming up. We've got two guests will be joining us, one to talk college football, the other on the Chargers. Rolling along at SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, prepare for road trips. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This is one of my favorite songs. I bought Guitar Hero just so I could play this on Guitar Hero. I love this song. If you want to watch a good version of this, God, there's a live version of this on YouTube that is like 14 minutes long, but it's fantastic.
All right, well, you know, if we ever come across a segment where there's nothing to say or do, we'll play that.
You can play that for 14 minutes.
Yeah. Should have done that over the summer.
It's true, right?
It's a couple dead days during the dog days of summer.
During the dog days of summer. Could listen to
around All-Star break when there's no sports.
Yeah. Mark Knopfler, play the guitar. All right. So are you ready for a Chargers day today,
my man? No, I don't know.
You ready to go under the radar, win 12 games, and nobody's paying attention to you?
Yeah, I have 16 road games this year.
Right. Exactly.
It's the Chargers way.
Strange year last year. What a strange year. They were so quiet throughout the whole season. It's mind-boggling that nobody was talking about them.
I know. Well, they had the second-best record in the NFL?
Yeah, they were right behind Kansas City all season. And everyone acted as if the Chiefs were the greatest team in the history of the NFL. And the Chargers were like, we're right behind them. The Chargers didn't have a late surge.
But don't pay attention to us.
Nobody was talking about them. And then towards the end of the season, people went, oh, yeah, Phillip Rivers, by the way, is, he could win that division. You're like, what? Oh, really? Yeah, he could. So, but they had a great record, and they had to go on the road to face Baltimore, and they had to go on the road to face New England. So that's not easy. It is not easy to do that in the NFL.
And they had to go on the road at home.
That's right. And they had to go on the road at home. All of these wild card teams, you know, when we have a Super Bowl champion, they're like, they won all three games on the road. I think the Giants did that one year. I think the Giants did it twice, winning the Super Bowl, winning road games.
Yep.
Patriots went to the Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl, Super Bowl 20. I think they went all on the road before they got blown out by the Bears. But every now and then we get a team that does this. That is a real accomplishment in this league. When you're winning road playoff games, especially teams that have the week off before, it's hard to do. And the Chargers played really great, but because you don't win the division, you gotta be a wild card team. But this is the Chargers day today as we talk about Phillip Rivers. You know, one of the questions I'm going to ask later on. You know, nobody talks about Phillip Rivers getting old.
No, I know,
because he doesn't look old.
But isn't that weird? I mean, he came in really at the same time with Eli and Ben.
Right.
And we talk about both those guys like, you may have like a year max with these guys. Well, the Eli, we're not even sure if he's going to finish the season. But Phillip, he's got maybe four more years under him.
Nobody talks about him. Yeah, we're like, well, Drew Brees is 40, Brady's 42, Ben and Eli, as you mentioned, in the same draft class, they're old. When are they going to be exiting out of the stage of the NFL? Nobody talks about Phillip Rivers doing this. Nobody. A lot of it is because I think he still looks like he's 21.
Right? He has eight kids.
He has eight kids.
Probably keeping him
he
young.
He still looks like an older teenager because he still has that boyish look.
Yep.
He doesn't look ripped apart like Eli Manning does these days.
Listen, we have no backup.
Right.
We have no backup plan.
That's true.
That's why I'm fine. You know what? Go to the Super Bowl this year. Lose every single game next season.
Right.
Every single
win
one.
Win the championship and then go out and get another one. Go get another one. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just nobody buzzes about him and Father Time like we do with the two guys that were in his draft class, right? It's just, And a lot of it is because he plays so well and it's stellar play, and it doesn't feel like something. With Ben, one of the things about Roethlisberger is even though Ben plays well, if you follow the Steelers, and I'm a fan, but even if you're not a fan, just follow the Steelers, you know that his career has just been riddled with all of these type of injuries, right? Just he's been knee injury, neck injury, everything that he has had over the years. And Rivers doesn't really have that. I mean, he played that one game against the Patriots with a busted ACL,
torn ACL.
But other than that, Rivers doesn't have a list of injuries like Ben Roethlisberger does.
No, not only that, but also I would say, he's been out of the limelight. I mean, it seems like with Roethlisberger, if it isn't on the field issues, there's been a whole bunch of off the field issues.
Yeah, sure.
And Rivers has escaped all of that, where it just you kind of forget about that guy over there.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like Melvin Gordon is going to be on the team anytime soon.
That's right.
That's all right.
What did he do for us?
He still got Mike Williams, right? Still do?
Well, I don't know.
Wasn't there the Bill Belichick? Which one are you talking about? Remember, you just asked about Mike Williams, which one?
Yeah. I'm always concerned with Mike Williams. I mean, you say we have him. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. I'm talking about guys. You know what? It's funny. The receivers are the ones who get injured all the time.
Right, right.
For the Chargers. Quarterback stays the same.
Right.
Running backs, you know, they come and go. It's the receivers that are constantly, we're just finding new guys. And, it's funny because we'll give all the credit in the world to Drew Brees, for passing it to 8 different guys every single game. Phillip Rivers does the same thing, but we never talk about him that
much. Never talk about him.
We just don't talk about the Chargers at all.
Derwin James is hurt.
Yeah,
that's going to be a problem, but we'll see. I mean, it's still a good, it's still a really interesting AFC West that you kind of look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They've won it the last 3 years. They've won that division. Once the Broncos kind of went had demise, but
exploded.
But the Chargers have been right there, right? I mean, just hanging around, waiting to make a move.
Well, I mean, they're that NASCAR, that car that drafts.
Yeah, that's right.
They just kind of hang out right behind, let the Chiefs take all the heat, take all the credit, get all the limelight, all the media attention. They're just hanging right behind them every step of the way.
Yeah, and I'm never one of those guys that says a guy deserves a championship. I think you got to win it, you got to earn it. I think it's a kind of an overused cliche. And I kind of get where people are saying sometimes a player is too good and it just feels weird that they don't have a title or at least a chance to win a title. But there's something about Phillip Rivers that makes me go, come on, man, get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
your career is too good to just. If we go a whole career without Phillip Rivers not going to the Super Bowl, I just feel cheated because he's that good of a player. And he's been a fun player to watch over the years, right? I mean, I remember he got hurt when he was walking off the field against the Colts years ago, right? 2007, whatever that year was. And he's like jeering at the fans and booing him. I mean, he has given Bronco fans fits. He's very open and kind of obnoxious at times, but it's in that competitive way that you can sort of respect. And I like Rivers for that. A confident guy, doesn't mind going on the road and walking away with the win and letting you know that he won. I want him to go to at least one Super Bowl. I want him to compete for a championship. His career is too good to not have a chance at that. But, at 37 years old, the clock is ticking, so hurry up. Because it's not, doesn't usually happen in your 40s.
Yeah, I just get the feeling that when his demise comes and when his playing days, it's just going to drop suddenly.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the slow, agonizing.
That's a good point, too.
He's losing. When you watch Peyton Manning's like, you could tell he was still there a little bit. You saw flashes of brilliance, but, you knew Peyton Manning's career was coming undone. Same with Eli. With Phillip, I just feel like it's going to just be at this peak and then it's just going to cliff.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if they can take advantage of something like with Kansas City where things, because winning 13 games is very, it's hard to do. But, if you can take advantage of maybe a stumble or two here with the Chiefs, whatnot, I don't know, then you win the division and all of a sudden it changes the complexity of your playoff path.
No, I'm fine with being the draft car, man.
Yeah. Just be the draft
card. Just keep under the radar.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about them. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, I forgot the Chargers are in the playoffs. I forgot about those guys.
All right. Coming up, we'll get more into the college football overreactions in week 1. Is there stuff to worry about with some of the teams? And looking ahead to the Week 2 games that are going to be somewhat interesting. That's coming up. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. One note from the Notre Dame game last night. There was one play where Ian Book of the Irish threw the ball away, and he threw the ball really away. It hit a cheerleader in the head.
That was so great.
In the face. So, because, look, and back in the, you know, back in my day, that would have just been like she got hit by a football. Yep. But now she took to social media and told everybody, she wrote, "Thank you, Ann Book," and people are responding to that. If you're Ann Book, do you reach out to her on social media and apologize, or do you just go,
"Yeah,
don't be in the way of the football"? But she's a cheerleader for Louisville. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, you know. Who cares?
No, who cares? You should say, get away from the football. It's not like it's a surprise. It's coming. You're like, pay attention to the game.
You should have your head on a swivel. You're on a football field.
What's wrong with you?
You know what? This is the perfect wedding story.
That's a great idea, right?
They should get married. They should have kids, and then one day they can reach back and say, "Hey, you know, Mom, Dad, how did you meet?" "I chucked a football at her face, son."
And just because they go to different schools doesn't mean they can't get together.
Ah, it's close enough.
Right? Road trip. Close enough.
Road trip.
I don't know, Ian Book. Maybe he's engaged. I mean, here I am trying to play matchmaker to the Notre Dame quarterback.
You know what?
Maybe he's engaged. Maybe he's got a squeeze at Notre Dame in South Bend. But here's a Louisville cheerleader. You broke her nose throwing a football.
Yeah, you got to reach out.
Is it sad that I thought it was funny at first when I saw it? I thought I kind of chuckled.
No, because
she's just standing there and bonk.
I mean, how do you not look? I guess maybe you're a cheerleader. You're doing your job.
And maybe you have to do your gig.
You're just, you know, but she's just, I mean, she's staring. I don't even know what she's looking at.
No.
Because if you're looking straight ahead, you're not even looking at the field of play. Like, the game's going on down, you know, 20 yards to your right. You're just looking straight ahead. Maybe there was something going on in the end zone that we didn't know about.
Yeah, maybe so.
Swirl on the field or something. I don't know. But yeah, she took it.
She got hit hard. She goes, "My nose is crooked." So if I was him, I would reach out to her on social media. I would find her, whatever it is kids do, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is the kids do.
I'll just
doing.
Reach out, you know, say, "Hey, I know a great CTE guy."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. "I am so sorry I threw that away at you. I was actually hoping you'd catch it, but apparently you weren't."
There was a love note on it. You didn't get that?
Right. Didn't get it? Man. I'm sorry. I was, you know.
Shooting my shot.
Shit, I remember Brady Quinn when he was playing at Notre Dame and they came to Air Force to play. Like, the cheerleaders for Air Force wanted to get a picture taken with him. Like, they were lining up to get a picture taken with him.
Of course.
So, I mean, if you're the Notre Dame quarterback, it's a big deal.
Got to shoot your shot.
That's right. Notre Dame is great. I had never seen Notre Dame in person before. And I remember I was doing a show in Colorado Springs and we had a Notre Dame alumni group and they were saying, "Hey, you know, you're not going to see anything like Notre Dame." And Notre Dame was good back then. This was when Charlie Weiss, Brady Quinn, Jeff Samardzija, they were like nationally ranked. And they built in the Air Force parking lot a bookstore, not a bookstore from the books, like a fan gear store, like you have on campus, where you go to a campus and you're like, "Give me a shirt and a towel and a pennant and, you know, things like that." They built a tent in the parking lot to sell Notre Dame gear, and it was packed with people. And it was great. The whole pregame leading up to the game, people were pouring in to buy Notre Dame gear. It was great. I've never seen a fan base like that. I mean, they're really, really big. They got pockets and pockets of fans around the globe. So if you're Ian Book and you're the quarterback at Notre Dame, it's a lot different than being the quarterback at like South Carolina. And you're kind of a global sports icon for the moment anyway. So yeah, send the girl a note, Ian Book. It'll be fine.
Yep. It looks like he might have a girlfriend.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, I decided to look it up. And
okay, just to see.
Just to see. And you know what? He's doing okay.
You can't be, you're not going to be single for very long if you're the quarterback at Notre Dame.
No, not at all.
You're going to have to, if you're single, it's because you have said, I want to be single.
Yeah, because you wanted to concentrate on football.
That's right. It is not you going, gee, I can't seem to find a date. I don't know why this isn't working. Can't seem to find somebody to share my life with. Now, that's not the issue. But you never know. You might have been between girlfriends and thought this might be a good opportunity. But nevertheless, we were not able to make love happen.
Yeah. No, but who was it? There's a professional football player who just recently broke up with his girl. And I got to try to find it.
Oh.
The whole reason why, because I love the reason why he broke up with her. His football season started. He's got to keep his options open.
There was a story I did a couple of years ago on this video gamer that was dating this very, very beautiful Instagram model.
I think.
Remember that? He said, that's it. I can't date you anymore.
I gotta concentrate on
gaming. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
And remember, she was like from Brazil or something.
She's from Mexico. She was the hottest weather girl on the planet.
That's right.
That was her title.
That's why I love having you on the show. You have this great memory for stuff like this. I totally forgot. She was the hottest weather girl on the planet, and she was dating this video gamer, professional video gamer, and he had to dump her. Because she was distracting him from his pursuit of excellence as a video game professional.
Of becoming the number one gamer in the world, I believe.
That's right. That's right.
That's what he was trying to achieve.
What a problem to have. Oh, man, I'm really struggling with my life. What's the matter, man? My weather girl, hot girl, is just annoying. I need her away from me. I can't. Like, she always wants to hang out and wear, less clothing every day.
She always wants the sex, and I want a game.
I just can't. I have to focus on my professional video game life. And this this Instagram hot weather girl model girlfriend I have is just in the way all the time. Ugh. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Always sitting there saying, look at me, look at me.
Yeah. Look what I'm not wearing. Ugh. Just, it gets old after a while. Gosh, could you please hang out with me for 3 hours? I'm like, I don't have 3 hours to hang with you. God, there's like first world problems, and then there's what's ahead of first world problems. Because That's it.
No, okay, so. The receiver I was thinking of was Stephon Diggs.
Oh, Stephon Diggs is
he broke up with his IG Instagram model girlfriend. I don't know, whatever. She's 41. She's a 41-year-old actress.
She's 41?
Yeah, he's 25.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But he broke up with her because he likes to keep his options open.
During football season?
There are at least 8 road trips every season, after all.
Yeah, I know.
He's being smart about it. You don't want to get caught cheating, and he's sitting there going, you know what? I'm going on the road. I'm going to these places. There's going to be fangirls all over the place just throwing themselves at me.
Taking my opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. 25.
Hey, David Cone, the pitcher, was very open about that. When he was a young man, when he was a young baseball player, he was a bachelor. He's like, I'm not attaching myself to anything. This is fun. I'm enjoying life. I like this.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a player personally, who I shall remain nameless because I don't want to out him. But his family used to travel with him all the time. His wife would not trust him.
Oh, yeah.
So they would take their brood, the wife and the boys on the road. And follow him from game to game.
Yeah, in my sports broadcasting travels, I never had that problem where my wife was like, I need to go with you because there's all these radio groupies that might just... Who's the play-by-play announcer of the
radio
opposing team?
Radio groupies are real.
Yeah.
They're out there. We just haven't found them yet.
No, I haven't found them yet. But yeah, no, I got to think there's more wives that either wish they could bring that up or just... bring that up and go, no. Yeah. No, what is this?
It's those girls. They like the radio voice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So, Alex, you just hold on out there. There's a girl out there for you.
There's a girl out there for you, Alex. Exactly. Hey, a lot's been made said of Jalen Hurts downplaying his 6-touchdown performance against Houston the other night. where he said, "Well, it's sloppy. We got to shore things up." Did he not sound very Saban-esque?
Oh, very.
In his conversation, right? Isn't this what you want?
After the game, he's like, "You just had the greatest night of any Oklahoma quarterback in the first game ever." Yeah, you know, we could have done better.
Yeah, I got to talk to my guys. It was sloppy. Got to talk to my guys. That's very Saban-esque.
I think it's a
welcome attitude to the Oklahoma system. Right? You got the influence is one of the greatest coaches of all time penetrating the Sooner program. What if Jalen Hurts had accounted for 10 touchdowns? Would he probably have said the same thing?
Still sloppy. They could have tightened things up a little bit.
It was 77-10, and he had 10 touchdowns on the day.
He would pick out like one play. Yeah, you know, we could have had that first down, but then we had that holding penalty that, you know, delayed the touchdown by two plays.
Lincoln Riley said he played good. There are several things he could do better, but he thought he handled the moment. You could tell out there that he had done it before. I thought he made good, sound decisions and managed the game well. He accounted for 6 touchdowns, Coach. I mean, come on. like enough of this stuff. Like, it's okay to gush a little bit about your guy. Your guy came in and scored 6 touchdowns, 3 on the ground, 3 through the air. He did a great job. He did great.
Jalen Hurts made a good Houston team look like a D2 team.
That's right. He certainly did. He took what many thought could be a really competitive primetime game and kind of messed around with it and said, "Nah, don't worry about it."
I mean, you had mentioned it earlier. It's like, you know, Auburn and Oregon should have been the Monday nighter. You know, that's
I wish they had done that. Right.
We were all. We weren't bashing it at all. We thought Oklahoma Houston's like, that's a great game.
That's
Sunday
game,
night.
Yeah.
Nothing else going on against it. You know, and it was a good game. It's just it wasn't competitive.
No, not at all.
And it was just all because Jalen Hurts decided is like, you know what? Oklahoma deserves 3 Heismans in a row.
Jalen Hurts is going to have a great story. At least I hope he does when this college football season's all done. Like when his career is over. In college football, he could have a really interesting like documentary 30 for 30 kind of thing. That he's got the way he stayed at Alabama, the way he helped the Crimson Tide, the way he lost his job but was still supportive of Tua when he lost, you know, had to be taken out of the game against Georgia in the national championship and the legend of Tua grew and how he handled it. He could have left. Remember that off season where his family were saying he was leaving, but he stayed? Right? Remember all that?
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, they were saying that immediately. Like, it was a month later. It's like, oh, he's going to take off. He's going to go to another school.
Yep.
And he sat there and he's like, no. It's like, I'll go as I'm do what I do and just be needed when I'm needed. And now he can't fault him at all. I mean, this is a great NFL. I mean, if you're looking at all the quarterbacks that are going to be coming out, that's going to weigh heavily. I mean, he may not have all the skills as, you know, say a Tua does or Justin Herbert does or, you know, anybody else coming out, Jake Fromm, but the character of him is going to propel him to the top.
That's right.
I mean, what NFL owner does not want his character
on their team? That's a good point. I just think his story is going to be great, especially if Oklahoma makes the playoff, which people think they will. And, you know,
they'll make the playoff. They just won't play for the national title.
Yeah, probably not.
Clemson, Alabama again.
All right. 800-224-2004 on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. We'll get to some tweets coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with 2 N's. This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, Robert asks, local debate of sorts, because he's in Michigan. How would you see a Verlander Hall of Fame inductee, a Tiger or an Astro? That's a good question.
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I still think, it's based off of longevity. You still got to go Tigers, but he seems to be more at the forefront now being an Astro.
That might be true. Yeah.
Got a World Series win.
But isn't it also to these guys where they go, it's where I liked it, right? Like, does he like being in Houston more than he liked being in Detroit? Does Detroit have bad? Yeah, I know. Did Detroit have a special place in his heart? And he goes, no matter how bad it, you know, being traded over, I still wanted to. Who knows? I mean, it's almost like personal preference. Like, I really enjoyed my time there. And I want to do that.
I think when it's all said and done, I mean, you know, after he retires, I think we're going to remember him more as a Tigers pitcher.
I do too. You know what's funny though? I wish it was another way to do it. I feel like these athletes get put in these awful positions of having to pick a hat when they may have enjoyed work, you know, playing in both places and the fan bases in both places. They don't want to mess around with anything. God, like, look, I get Peyton Manning is a Colt, right? And I get that. But, you know, people in Denver, he will always be a huge part of the history of that organization.
Of course. Right? I mean, when you bring, you know, just when you bring a title to a city, you're ingrained in their sports lore forever.
And it worked, right? The neck injury, it didn't matter. He came in and started winning and winning immediately, and they were the best team in football, and they had the best offense, and then they won a Super Bowl.
Use a different player, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
What are you going to look at as Kevin Garnett? I mean, he brought a championship to Boston.
Right.
The city, you know, I mean, the city is just title town. But he brought a championship to Boston, but he played with Minnesota forever.
A long time, right. Let's see here. The Milkman, Bigger Crybaby, Phillips or Brady? I just butchered that. Bigger Crybaby, Phillips or Brady? Yeah, Phillip Rivers has had some crybaby moments.
Oh, of course.
But, you know, I love him for it.
I don't know if Tom Brady's ever really been a crybaby.
He hasn't been a crybaby, but his perception is that he's more pretty boy, and I think that leads to that. By the way, he also, the Milkman on Twitter actually says, Texas 27, LSU 24, won by Dicker the Kicker. Hook 'em, baby.
Okay.
That would be a big, I'm telling you right now, that's not just a big win for Texas. Hey, that's a big win for the conference.
Hey, it started with Carly Lloyd. It's the year of the kicker.
Right, exactly. You beat LSU. Another big Power 5 conference beating an SEC team, big day for that conference.